conviction is induced that even for one's purpose, omniscience is necessary. Thus, by training the true objects of focus of this mind, a commitment is made to attain Buddhahood for others. Training by relying on the teachings coming from Bodhisattva, now Bodhisattva Shantideva's text. Self-cherishing attitude is the door to all downfalls. Cherishing others is the source of all perfections. Hence, the place of the two minds, self-cherishing attitude, and a mind neglecting others should be exchanged, and even the mere movement of your breath should be used only for others. So just as it is said in the Bodhisattva Charavatara by Shantideva, All happiness is of this world, and that the world contains, are derived through wishing happiness for others, and all sufferings the world has are derived through cherishing oneself. So he's Charideva summed up by saying that if you reflect well, all happiness is derived primarily through the kindness of other sentient beings. So, for example, the mundane happiness is like power, the power, wealth, health, and so forth. They also are derived through the desire to benefit other sentient beings. So even in terms of the mundane pleasures, they are derived through the altruism or the wish to desire other sentient beings. And the ultimate goal of the bodhicitta would be to achieve the highest goal of enlightenment or the Buddhahood. And for someone here, the self-cherishing mind, so the very effect that it would have would be, while you're in samsara, it would simply torment you or let you take birth in the lower realms. So we see that all the falls or the sufferings in this universe, they're all obtained because of the self-cherishing mind, the self-centered mind. So the self-centered mind is something very narrow in scope. And whereas the other cherishing mind, since the others is something infinitely great amount, so as such the mind as well, the mind which is focused on all other sentient beings as well becomes vast, becomes more rich. Just as we said earlier, the sense of attachment and hatred in these things, they are very narrowed in terms of their scope. So all those negative emotions which are related to the two kinds of the emotions, attachment and hatred, so they are, again, they are very narrow in the scope of their thinking. So self-cherishing is the gateway to all the sufferings to oneself. The continuous, the ceaselessly great number of the sufferings, they all stem from the self-cherishing mind. And the contrary to that, all the experience of happiness, like temporary sense of relief, sense of peace, and to the greatest range, to the achievement of highest enlightenment, so they are all derived through the desire, the wish to give happiness to other sentient beings. So thereby reflecting on the faulty side, the flaws of the self-cherishing mind and the benefits of other cherishing minds. So comparing these two, and then by changing the object of the two cherishing, starting cherishing others, and then being indifferent towards yourself. So that way of skillful reflection would be a tremendous benefit not only for others, but for yourself as well, because it will lead you to obtain all the kinds of the pleasurable experiences in this life and in the long term as well, to achieve the high state of enlightenment. Process of holding that mind with the ritual ceremony. This has three parts: to attain what is not attained, protecting what is attained from degeneration, and the means of restoration if it degenerates. First, to attain what is not attained. This has three parts: the object from where it is received, the basis by which it is received, and the ritual of how it is received. The object from where it is received. It should be received from someone possessing engagement vow. The basis by which it is received, that also were one who is especially attracted to his bodhicitta after having trained in the two common minds. The ritual of how it is received, are receiving it through the three rituals, preparation, actual, and conclusion is best. Protecting what is attained from degeneration, this is two parts. Training in the courses for not degenerating the bodhicitta in this life, and training in the courses of not getting separated from that in other lives also. Training in the courses for not degenerating the bodhicitta in this life. From then, one becomes a worthy object of respect by the world, including the gods. One will be protected by protectors, double the protectors of universal king. Will achieve knowledge mantras, and bestow the twofold attainments. The conquerors who thought well for many aeons found this alone has beneficial. If the merits of this were in form, it would be more than the space can hold. In case this degenerates, one will wander for a long time in the bad migration. Hence, do not give this up even for a moment and hold it six times a day. Training in the causes of not getting separated from that in other lives also. This has two parts. Abandoning the full lack. Abandoning the four black deeds that are responsible for the degeneration, deceiving abbots, acharyas, benefactors, and source of equality spirit by lying, to generate repentance in those that have performed virtuous deeds and who have no repentance, speaking unpleasant things to a bodhisattva, and as having understood it, employing deceitfulness on others, and not through sense of responsibility, hiding one's faults through tactical means. Deceit is explained as a pretension of possessing qualities when you do not have them. Training in the practice of the four white deeds that helps stop degeneration. The reverse of these four is the four white practices, abandoning, lying, abiding by mental uprightness, generating the discernment towards the bodhisattvas as Buddhas, and helping the sentient beings who are ready to arrive to enter the complete enlightenment. These eight are the causes of not being separated from the enlightenment in the next lives, the means of restoration when degenerates. A specialty of this vehicle is the possibility of receiving it again, even if it degenerates. Even if the engaging vow is given up, so long as the aspirational mind abides, except the two, abandoning the aspirational mind and mentally giving up of the sentient beings. If one contradicts other bodhisattva precepts, it will become a negative deed of degeneration of middle virtues. The mode of engaging in the deeds after having generated the mind. This has three parts. The reason why one should train in the precepts after having generated the mind, showing that the Buddhahood will not be achieved by merely training in either wisdom or method, and explaining the stages of training in the precepts. The reason why one should train in the precepts after having generated the mind. Although mere generation of the aspirational mind has great benefit, but engaging mainly in practice is the first. In the case of the practice, also it is training in the three precepts itself, showing that the Buddhahood will not be achieved by merely training in one either wisdom or method, will not achieve Buddhahood by practicing method and wisdom separately. Hence, the unmistaken and complete method and wisdom should be practiced in unity. The method here is the Bodhicitta explained before, and wisdom is the view, thoroughly understanding the mode of existence, to be influenced by Bodhicitta when meditating on emptiness, and to be influenced by wisdom while engaging in giving and so forth, also is the meaning of inseparation of method and wisdom here. Some say that through a discriminated wisdom, when a view of mode of existence as established, then placing on it one-pointedly and not to reflect on anything else, is the meditation on the way of existence.